All right, it's John 15 tonight, John the 15th chapter. John chapter 15. You know, God has a purpose for all of us. And one of the purposes he has for us is he wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be joyful. He does not want any gloomy gusses going around representing him, okay? And sometimes we just have a bad day and we may look like and act like a gloomy gus. But that's not God who's doing that. That's our enemy. And we need to keep that in mind. So, in John chapter 15, there is a verse. If you remember, John chapter 15 is the chapter that starts off saying, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And that is Jesus letting us know that if we are in him, we can be successful. But if we are not in him, we cannot succeed no matter how hard we try. And by the time he gets down to chapter 15, verse 11, this is what he says. And we want to remember, this is why he told his disciples what he told them in the first 10 verses. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus wants us to be full of joy. He sent the Holy Spirit for that purpose. That's what he brings. Love, joy, remember? Love, joy, peace. And so God wants you to be joyful. Not because you are who you are or you're in the situations you find yourself. He wants you to be joyful because he has given you his Holy Spirit. And part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy. It's always going to be there. Even when times are not going just the way we think they ought to, the joy, the potential joy is still going to be there. Because the Holy Spirit, if you have believed on Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit will never leave you. Never. That is a part of accepting Christ. That's part of being born again, is that you are indwelled by God's Holy Spirit. And when he indwells you, he brings certain things, and joy is part of it. So in our opening verse tonight, Jesus was describing himself as the true vine, and we were to be the branches. Now, we have to understand, we are not the root. He is. We are just branches. And things can happen to branches. So we're just branches. During his discourse, Jesus provided this explanation as to why he was sharing this particular analogy with his men, with his people, his disciples. The people of the world are not capable of having joy. The best they can have is happiness, and that's momentary. That is situational. Joy is an inner peace, an inner experience. And we can all have joy because of the Holy Spirit. Even the joy found in Jesus is not full until we yield ourselves completely to him. We can try and live our own life in our own way, in our own strength, and we dealt with that in Sunday school. You will not be successful. You're going to fail. One thing, you're going to get tired. You may experience burnout, because that's not the way God intended any of us to do the things that we are doing. He expects us to do them in his strength, in his power, in his way. Our ways are not his ways. He told us that his ways are higher than our ways. His ways are better and wiser and smarter than our ways. So tonight, I'd like to share with you some thoughts about the kind of joy that you may have in your life and the kind of joy that will permit you to have additional joy which is available to you. Of course, we all want what we can get of a good thing, and joy of the Lord is a very good thing. So David, when he was king of Israel, realized that he was not as happy as he had been one time. And so Jesus called out in Psalm 51, verses 11 and 12, he said, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." There again is the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. He was there. And then in verse 12, he says, Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. The Holy Spirit has always been there. We talked about the Trinity a few weeks ago. And the Trinity has always been there. It's there in the Old Testament. We just don't see it as clearly as we do in the New Testament, because we don't normally see all three of them operating together. They all have their own separate things that they do, ministries that they have to us. For most of us, there was likely a time when we experienced more joy than we might be experiencing right now. Look back. Look back to the day you were saved. Look back to the day that you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you your sins, that you asked him to save you, to come into your heart. Do you remember that day? I do. What a relief I felt. Just something just left me. And it was sin, it was the consequences of sin, the burden of sin. And suddenly my heart was free. So was yours. Are you still living in that particular moment? And probably the answer is no. Why not? We can be. We really can be. But we, you see, the moment that we are saved, our sin is gone. But it's not really very long before we start piling those sins up again. We start living in our will rather than God's will. And the moment we start doing that, we're sinning against God. What was Eve's sin against God? It was exercising her will over his will. And every time we do that, we sin. Now, sometimes we don't intend to do it. We don't think about, well, what does God want me to do in this situation? And we think, well, this worked last time. I'm going to try it again. But it may not be God's will. And every time we get into a situation, we should be asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? And if we will ask that and then listen, not to this, because remember, the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked, who can know it? And our heart is that way. But if we will listen for the Holy Spirit, here too, he's in our heart. The day that we were saved by believing upon Jesus and our sins were forgiven was probably the most joyous day of our life. Now, it doesn't mean we can't have joy-filled days again. We're supposed to have. Every day is supposed to be. Life didn't know Jesus or the principles of God's word when we lived it outside of Jesus Christ. We didn't know. We might have thought we were having fun. We might have thought we were doing things that was very exciting, very important. But we didn't know Jesus Christ. And you know what? There's nobody more important than him. There's nothing more important than the will of God in our lives. No matter where we are or what we're doing, God did not ordain everybody to be a preacher. God did not ordain everybody to be a missionary. God ordained teachers. He ordained electricians. He even ordained plumbers. And I really feel sorry for them. I don't like plumbing. But God ordained every purpose that he might have called you to. Throughout Scripture, God has included admonitions about true joy. Perhaps we need to look at some of those admonitions to see if perhaps we can recover the joy that we once experienced. So where do we start? Well, I think that a good place to start would be to go to the source of joy. And that would be Psalm 5:11. Psalm 5:11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. You want to have joy? Have it in God. Have it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have it in his ministry. Have it in his life. That's where we're going to get joy. Now, because we have lived most of our lives taking care of ourselves, defending ourselves, fixing problems for ourselves, we're not used to stopping and submitting to the will of God. We're not. We have taken care of ourselves all of our life, not realizing that God wanted to do the same. And we didn't let him. There are those who believe if you don't defend yourself, who will? Okay? God will. He really will. He will defend you. The answer is in Psalm 5, verse 11. If we fully place our trust in God, he has pledged in this psalm to defend us. He also says that he will be the source of our joy. And after all, who provided the first real joy that we had? It was God, through Jesus Christ, through the work of his Holy Spirit. Didn't God fill us with joy the moment we got saved? Yes, he did. Was not God the place where King David went to restore his joy? Yes, it was. David made one other statement that we need to make note of. He named the source of his joy in that same passage, "And take not thy Holy Spirit from me." If you're sitting here this evening and you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, joy is there. Sometimes you just have to sort of dig it out. Don't let the cares of the world, the problems that you think you have been immersed in, take away your joy. Rejoice anyway. Praise the Lord. I knew a guy, every time he heard someone cuss or use profanity, he would shout, "Praise the Lord!" And some of the people ask him, "Why do you do that?" And he said, "If they can talk about my God, I can too." So try that sometime. Then duck. Okay. Now, there are times when we get distracted. And it's so easy to get distracted. We forget who our strength is, where our strength comes from, and how important God's Holy Spirit in us is. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we all know, most of us know those verses, Galatians 2, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meek, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's there all the time. God never changes. The Holy Spirit is God. He never changes. The joy is always there. Sometimes we just have to concentrate on it and not on what's going on around us. In Psalm 16:11, we are told, "Thou wilt show me the path of thy life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You want to experience joy? Realize that you're in the presence of God. Realize He is there. He's taking care of you. He is a prayer away. How far is that? A prayer. And you're in communication with God. The only place that we're going to find real joy is to be in the Lord. Because of that, I find it hard to understand why people would stay away from church. I'm happy to be here. I hope you are. You never know what Tim and Jane are going to come up with in the way of music. I mean, even AB is singing. You're next, Ricky. You're next. Can we Ricky and Jocelyn one night? Psalm 30, verses 3 through 5 says, "O Lord, Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but for a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Amen. It does. It does. Okay, so we begin to experience joy when we got saved, and we knew that we were bound for heaven. We did sing to the Lord, and we did give thanks. Has anything changed? Has anything changed? Do we remember His holiness? Are we living lives that would cause Him to be angry with us? I hope not. And if we're not, then we have nothing to fear. We are as far away from Him as a confession and a repentance, just turning away from it. What a wonderful God that we can know and serve. And we've had several weeks of teaching on servanthood and service to Him. Let's put it in practice. Let's start serving Him every moment. Him. What we do for Him. Even when we are helping each other, we're doing it for Him. If you're doing something kind for someone, you're doing it for Him. And we just have to remember that. I watched a lady, I found out later on today, I watched a lady put two grocery bags full of stuff in the blessing box this morning. She pulled in, and I believe that she really thought she was helping people out. Now you see some folks laughing. Everything she put in the blessing box, the newest, expired 2 years ago. Some of it expired 3 or 4 years ago. Folks, when we do something for God, let's do our best. If we're going to give him something, there's nothing we can give him he doesn't already own. We have to remember that. But if we're going to give him something from us, let's at least make it the best, something that we can find and to give him. I am sure that for my wife's birthday, which is coming up, she would not like an old ringer type washing machine. Or a new vacuum cleaner, or an old vacuum cleaner, or a lawnmower, or a cordless drill. I'm sure she doesn't want any of that stuff. Okay. I want to give her the very best that I can. Why should we not do the same thing for God? Why shouldn't we make sure that what we give God is our very best? It's not what's left over. And sometimes that's the time we give him, is a leftover time. But he wants our best. And we need to give him our best. And so we need to experience joy. Psalm 59, 16 and 17 says, "But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy." Folks, we are all here tonight because of the mercy of God. We did not get killed on the way to church. Our mates did not do us in for something we forgot to do, like take out the garbage. No, God has brought us here. His mercy has brought us here. His grace has brought us here. And what a reason for joy, to experience joy. Some of the promises that God has made to us as well as to Israel has not been fulfilled yet. We have a promise. We sang a song tonight about Jesus is coming again. We have that promise. We know that he is coming again. And he's not coming for any other reason than to get his church, his bride, and take her to heaven with him. We're all part of the bride. If we know Jesus Christ as Savior, we are all part of the bride. We should be excited about his coming back. One thing that's missing in many churches is excitement over the ministry for the Lord. The early church was excited about serving God. We looked at that this morning, how excited some of them were. It started when Jesus sent out the disciples to minister. And I want to read that particular part of the scripture, that portion of scripture. We find it in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and there is something for us to glean from this. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy. Remember, he sent the 70 out two by two to minister for him. He gave them authority over bad spirits, wicked spirits. He gave them authority to heal. He gave them authority to raise the dead. He gave them the authority that he had. And they went out and they ministered. And then they came back with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." And he said to them, and this is what we want to look at, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I gave to you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written down in heaven. Think about that, folks. Your name is written down in heaven if you know Jesus Christ. It's in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's there. And you don't have to fret. You don't have to worry. You don't have to earn it. It's already written down. It's there. And that's what Jesus said to rejoice in. Rejoice in that your name is written down in heaven. Your name's written down in heaven? I hope everybody's name's written down in heaven. I hope that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can't speak for you, but I get excited about coming to church on Sundays and Wednesdays. What I'm wondering is, how do we communicate that excitement to the community around us? How do we show them how excited we are about coming to church? I'm sure, I don't know if you do this, I do this. I drive by churches to see how many cars are there. I look to see how many cars are there. And so a lot of us have started parking out front so they can see the cars. You know, if we park out back, they don't know they're there. I want them to realize that there is something here worthwhile for them. That there is an excitement here. I feel it. And I hope you do. I hope that you know, you miss not being able to come out if something prevents you from coming out. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9, Peter addresses it this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. If your name's written there, you've got an inheritance reserved for you there in heaven. Who are kept by the power of God. You don't keep yourselves, God keeps us. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Are there problems going on in your life? Sure there are. Are there problems going on in this country? Absolutely. But God's in control. And we need to remember that. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm looking for him. I'm anxious for him to come. I would like to see us all go up together rather than one at a time die off. Really, I really would. Wouldn't it be fantastic? All go together. No sorrow, no tears. Verse 8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, what does God expect from us? Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, I can't fully tell you just how joyful I am over my relationship with Jesus. I don't have words for that. And I don't imagine you do either. And the resulting relationship with my brothers and sisters is a result of the relationship that I have with Jesus. And the relationship you have with your brothers and sisters is the same. The more you love Jesus, the more you're going to love your brothers and sisters. And that's what we were talking about this morning. How much do we love them? Are we our brother's keepers? Do we love them that much? And I hope that we do. You see, when two or more believers come together, then there's a greater presence of the Holy Spirit. I think I mentioned that. And that should bring joy. Look at the early church, Acts 13:49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. And then verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. I hope that this evening, each one of you is full of God's Holy Spirit. I hope you're aware of His working in your heart, working in your life. Most of the world is willing to settle for happiness, which is only momentary. We have something that they can't have without Jesus. We have joy. Romans 14:17. Throughout the scripture, God keeps telling us through His writers about the joy that He has given us. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. If you have the Holy Ghost in you, you've got joy in you tonight. Perhaps you do not realize why I'm so strong in the presentation of God's Holy Spirit, because it's God's Holy Spirit that is the source of everything good that we are experiencing. The good things that are happening to you is a result of God's Holy Spirit working in you, of providing for you, of empowering you to serve God. The Apostle Paul in his ministry made a statement to the church at Rome that's just as true today and applicable to our church as it was at that time. That was made 2,000 years ago. We found the statement in Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Do you realize what that power is in you? Do you realize what God can do through you if you will let Him? If you will trust Him? No, you can't fly. You can't jump off a building and not get hurt. God's not going to ask you to do anything like that. But He might ask you to love somebody who's not lovely. He might ask you to do something for someone that you don't like. He might even ask you to love someone enough to tell them about Jesus. When's the last time you've handed out a gospel tract? Telling this person that you hand it to that this will show them how they can get to heaven, how they can have a lifelong relationship with God. Is the Holy Spirit working among us? I believe He is. I'm seeing the results of that. I'm seeing some fruit of that. I must admit there are times when I may not have joy radiating from my life. It may be the same way in your life. We hurt. We have a problem. We don't quite know how to deal with it. It's times like that I'm not living in the strength of God's Holy Spirit. I'm trying to live in my own strength. And if you are struggling, it's because you are not letting. God's strength does not require any struggling. You do not have to struggle at all if you are operating in the power of God. He's going to see you through. He's going to make you successful. As I look out at our congregation, I see a few people who are living in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad. Maybe not 100% of the time, but a good portion of the time. And I don't know if you realize that what is going on in your heart sometimes shows up on your face. It does. And so I want to see a happy church. I want to see a church filled with joy. And I want the world to see a church filled with joy, that they might want it too. Sometimes we let life get the best of us. And we lose our joy, the joy of our salvation. Several months ago, I preached a message from Nehemiah 8:10 about joy. And in case you don't remember the time or the message, I'd at least like to share the one verse with you that I used for that message. Let's take it in context. I'm going to back up a verse or two. Nehemiah 8:8-10. So they read the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tushita, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And we could do the same because we have violated it at one time or another. But then verse 10, it says, then he said to them, go your way and eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When you feel down, you think about that. You think about the joy of the Lord. You think about what God has done for you to put you where you are. So look at the very last phrase of the passage and remember the source for your joy and your strength. God gives you strength by giving you his joy. If you're struggling with life and turn to God for your strength and for his joy, he will give it. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for giving us your joy, for giving us the strength that we need to serve you, to worship you, to obey you. Thank you, Father. We ask that as we go our separate ways now, as we traverse through the week before us, Father, that others will see your joy in our faces and in our lives. And Father, may your will be done in each of our lives according to the leading of your Holy Spirit. And Father, we will praise you because of what you are doing for us and in our lives. Thank you, Father. Use us now to glorify yourself, and we will praise you because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.